Jesus is the ultimate symbol of God's love.
The biggest verse in the Bible, John 3:16. Are you kidding? For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Mr. Jack Drummond, along with Mr. Zach Geyer.
That's me, Mr. Zach Geyer.
Yep. And we are back again. Welcome this whoop, beautiful whoop. Sunday, or whichever day of the week you're listening.
Yeah, right. I mean, we posted on Sunday. This is season 2, episode, I think we're at 12, episode 12.
Okay.
Abby might be able to back check us on that. If not, then just go with episode 12.
This is a pretty interesting one because we just talked about it. Why didn't we do this next week?
I know.
Why didn't we do this episode over Valentine's Day? Like, are we completely oblivious to the world and what's happening?
So basically, we were sitting down here and we're like, Abby's like, so what are you guys doing again? And we're like, doing it on love. And she's like, wait, Valentine's Day is next week. And we're like, oh, crap. It was a good thing, though, because it was a good reminder for our girlfriends next week that we had to.
That's a good thing.
Because we would not remember it if it wasn't for Abby.
Yeah. Good job. Thanks.
I know. Right?
But yes, we are doing love, and we're not just going to wait till next week. Let's just jump into it because
love,
we spread love all the time, not just one day a year. And I know that's a cliche over Valentine's Day, but hey, that's the truth. So we're going to get into it, and we have stories we're looking at, but this is a topic that is coming through in every part of the Bible. You know, from Genesis to Revelation speaks of love, and the love that we're looking at is different. So there are different kinds of love, right, Zach?
I know. I mean, we could be talking, me and Jack, we said before, we could be having episodes on episodes of just love.
We could speak about this till like May if we wanted to.
Right.
Like,
this might be a 2-hour episode. Abby is shaking her head right now at college, but it's not going to be 2 hours.
No. But there's different kinds of love. And when we were talking about this and preparing for it, we were thinking about like, how do we approach this? Like, what direction do we go in? Because we don't know. There's just so many ways to look at it. And
right.
I think the way we settled on it is that we are going to be looking at God's love.
Yeah, the best
the Father's love. The best love.
True love, baby.
Yeah, true love. That is true love. So we're looking at the Father's love, and then towards the end, we're going to be talking about how we can reciprocate that love, how we can then share the love that God has given us onto other people and when they might not feel that much love. So the stories that we're going to be mainly looking at is in Luke 15. It's in the New Testament. And in Luke 15. So this, I got to jump into C.S. Lewis first, where he talks about four kinds of love in his book, Four Kinds of Love. The first one is Eros, which is just romantic love. So that's love when it's just lovers.
What'd
you
say?
Two people.
Eros.
Eros. E-R-O-S.
Oh, Eros.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Eros.
Okay.
I guess like a Greek term or something.
All right. Might be.
And then the second one is Philos or Philos.
Okay.
That's like friendship love. That's like you and me, man. That's our kind of love. It's the Philos.
Philos. I Philos you.
Next one is Storg. Storgy. I forget how to say it. I don't know.
Okay.
And that's like your cuddly love for like something that's sentimental, like your blankie or your doggy or something that's, you know, really close to you, an item or an object. And then the fourth kind is agape.
Whoa.
Agape love. And we had that new restaurant that opened up in Strasbourg,
just
near us, called Agape.
Right.
And that is divine love. That's divine love by sacrifice in pursuit of another person's good. So loving on someone for their sake.
So that was the four kinds of love, or
C.S. Lewis described. When we're thinking about different kinds of love, that's what he described as. There's those four things. And I mean, agape love seems to be one of the biggest ones, but God is in all these. You know, if we're living Christ-centered lives, God takes control of all these different types of love in our lives, if we allow him to. So that was just kind of something I read that to set us up for this as we look at these stories of love. And these are three parables in 15 that Jesus is telling. So Jesus is telling to to the tax collectors and sinners here in 15:1. So it starts off, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then he tells them this story. He says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep, loses one of them." See, we got to do a little math, Zach. I'm sorry.
100 sheep. We're not a math pod.
It's been a long time since high school, but we got to do a little math. So, Zach, if you have 100 sheep and you lose one, how many sheep do you have left?
It's 99.
99. Good job, man. I can't believe you graduated. Yeah. That's great.
Well, the song by Ariana Grande helped me with that. 99 problems, but you ain't one.
There you go.
Yep.
Now we're hearing it from Jesus. Look
Something
at that.
Something like that. I don't know what it says.
So he says, you lose one. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and says, "Rejoice with me." Oh, wait, sorry. Puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls all his friends and his neighbors together and he says, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So,
wow.
What do you think of this story, man? Let's just talk about it. What do you think of the parable of the lost sheep?
Okay, so we did this. We talked about it a couple episodes ago when we were talking about, was that David? Who are we talking about?
With the shepherd?
Oh, it was shepherd. It was vision.
Vision, yeah.
The vision episode. We talked about the 99. Yeah, 99 sheep and going to pick up one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I think I think this was a story. All these parables, actually, a couple years ago, I was like, "What is the point, God? You have 99 sheep. Why are you going to save one?"
Yeah.
Like all these movies you watch, it's all about life or death. They can either save their love or they can save thousands of people. And you know, somehow in the movie, they end up doing both. But like, that's just how the world teaches us to always go for the people and not for that one person. And God was kind of saying, like, "Hey, one person with one sinner who repents is better than 99 who don't. 99, I don't know, what does it say? Faithful people who
righteous people
who don't repent." So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, what else do you want me to say on that?
Yeah, but that's like how Jesus, like, why is he telling us this? Why is he going to tell us these next stories? It's because this is how God loves us. This is how God seeks us and sees us, is that there's 99 people who are living righteously. 99 people who love God, love the Lord. Then there's this one person who wanders off, who gets lost from the flock, and he's running away. But Jesus is saying here that God's going to chase after you. He's going to leave these people here because together they are good. Like, they're good together. Like, I'm still there for them, but I need to chase after this person.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is saying that too. Like, I'm coming for that sheep. I'm leaving the 99 and going after it because that's the one that needs help.
Mm.
Just a taste of like the love that God has for us right there.
All right.
Yeah. And so the next one, the parable of the lost coin. So these stories, man, I feel like we're looking at it here in 15. It's like this is, you know, the intro, you know, we're building. And then the last one is like the climax for me. I mean, it's just like that's the climax right there, the prodigal son. But this parable of the lost coin is so short. It's like two verses, super short. The parable of the lost coin, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins. Here we go. More math.
Okay.
And loses one. How many does she have?
Nine.
She's got 9 coins. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. The same thing. It's the same thing that Jesus is talking about with the lost sheep. It's the same story, just a different parable. What I don't get about this and what I've been thinking about is, why does she call her friends together over this coin?
Well, yeah. Well, it's the same thing about the sheep. He had a party about the sheep.
But if you lost a penny, Zach, would you bring all your friends together and your neighbors?
If I only had 10 pennies, yeah. If I lost
a
10th percent of my... What do you mean? Why would they?
Because it's your life. So, like, why would they care if you found your one penny that you've been missing? Now he only has 10 pennies. Like, what's the point?
No, he has 9 pennies.
Now he has 10, though, because he found the lost
one. Oh, okay.
But, like, what's the point of calling your friends together? In the same way when the shepherd found the sheep, calls all his friends and his neighbors together and says, come, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep.
Okay, well, say I lose a tenth of myself. I would hope we would, then I found a tenth of myself. Say I lost, like, say I weigh 200 pounds, I lost 20 pounds. I hope we would have a party when I gain that 20 pounds.
I'm sure we would. I'm sure we would. Falling into that 20 pounds, that was a bunch of sin right there.
No, we were supposed to celebrate when I lost the 20 pounds, not when I gained it. But yeah, I don't know, Jack.
Yeah.
Why? Do you have an answer or you just asking?
I mean, because I thought about it when I was reading it. I was like, that's weird. Like, okay. Why would they do that? But then, like, thinking about, like, if Jesus is relating this to God, how does God react? Like, how does he bring together other people to glorify us? Like, to celebrate for our loss? And because we were lost and now we're found, that's a joyful moment. That's, like, one of the biggest moments for us, being that sheep, being that coin in our lives. Like, mm-hmm. when we finally come back to the Lord and repent for that, like, that's a party, man. That's a celebration. And us here on earth, we're not gonna be with God physically and, like, having that party with him, but our lives gonna change, and we're gonna hopefully, you know, allow ourselves to call other people together and say, like, this is, I'm renewed. Like, I'm changed because of him. And I think what Jesus is saying here is that this is a party, dude. It's a celebration. It's, like, a great thing to
be renewed, yourself again, to find that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, let's celebrate the little things.
It's not, like, something to brush over, like, oh, man, just get back here. Get back in line. Like, no, man, he's found. He could have been dead.
Uh-huh.
Like, now he's here. Like, the sheep is here. He's alive.
And we're going to hear more about that story in this next one, where it talks about the parable of the lost son. So there were two sons. I like to paraphrase because I'm not a good reader. Maybe Jack will cut in and start to read. But so there were two sons that this guy had. And the way I see it is the younger son. The younger son was the one who wanted to go off, experience the world. He pretty much wanted his father's money, his father's will, so he could go off and experience the world and have fun. Whereas the older son was like, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to work for my dad. I'm going to do all the right stuff in order to get my father's blessing when the time comes. And, like, so far in the story, I'm like, yep, all right. Older son's the right here, so we're going to learn something here from the older or the younger son, because the younger son's going to mess up.
Yeah.
Like, in the end, like, starting right now, I think that the younger son is going to be the one who teaches us, because he's the one who's going to mess up.
Mm.
Anyways, it goes through the...
Wait, do you think they messed up? Like, do you think the father and the older son knew, like, he's going to mess up? There's no doubt about it. Like, when he left home, they're like, he's gone. Like, and there's nothing I can do.
Right.
Or was it, like, were they wise enough to know that he's going to come back?
Father was, son, older son wasn't.
The father was.
Yeah. So, anyways, the younger son, he goes out. He meets a whole bunch of people. He gains a whole bunch of friends. He has all this money because it's half of his father's blessing. And anyways, he goes... He parties, he ends up spending it all, losing it all, and pretty much what happens is he has nowhere to live, no more friends, because as soon as his money ran out, all of his friends were gone, and he had to go and work at a pig pen. And we talked about pigs last week, 2 weeks.
Why are we on this pig streak, man?
I don't know.
What is it about us?
I don't know. The Bible loves pigs, and so do we. But anyway, so... He goes and works at this pig pen, and he only works there. He doesn't really work for money, I don't think. He works for food. He just works there so he can eat what the pigs are eating.
Mm.
Right? Am I correct? Yeah. So then after like a whole bunch of debating, like, what do I do? What do I do? Do I go back to my dad and look like a fool, or do I like just continue? The younger son ends up going back to his dad, where at home we have the older son who's working his butt off. He's in the field. He's tending to the harvest, the sheep, the cows, the crops, whatever it is. And someone tells the father that, hey, your younger son has returned. And the father's like, what? Throw a party. Come on. The best of the best. Bring the best. Was it the best cow? I don't know.
Bring the fattened calf.
Yeah. Bring the fattened calf. Cut it up. We're going to have a party here. And the older son's like, excuse me? He's like, for what? He just went and spent all your money, all your hardworking money, and I've been here by your side this whole entire time, serving you and doing everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
And right here, if we stop right there, this is where I'm like, as an older brother, I'm like, yeah, anyways. Like, I feel like me as an older brother, I'm like, I serve my parents really well. Whereas my younger brother, maybe, now I'm calling out names.
Yeah, why are you throwing shade at your brothers now?
I didn't say which one. Yeah. They both are bad. They go and they spend all their money and, you know, they come back and ask for more. And so, as an older brother, this is what I see here. And the dad's like, no. You're looking at the small picture here. The big picture, he has returned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your brother is back. Let's celebrate that he's back. Because if we just give him shame, he's going to feel bad. And what's going to get him from running away again?
Mm.
Let's celebrate him and let him know that this is home.
Mm-hmm.
So then the brother kind of like mows it in. Yeah, okay, Pa, I guess you're right. So that's the story of the parable son. Might have missed a couple of things. Prodigal son.
But look, yeah, like what you said, like the father comes to him and says, you're always with me. Like you have everything.
Mm.
You're the righteous 99. You know, you're here. Your brother's, he was dead and now he's alive. He was lost, now he's found.
Mm.
That's why we were celebrating. Hoping the brother came to his senses and appreciated that. Yeah. We don't know because it doesn't say, but yeah.
Which one? The older brother. I'm sure.
But man, yeah, that story, crazy. Because the one part I love about it is that when the younger brother came to his senses and decided that he had to go back, he repented. As we read in the lost sheep and the lost coin, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And when he was even a long way off, his father saw him. When he was a long way off down the road, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him.
Yeah.
And this is the best part for me, is that the father didn't just wait for the son to reach him. He ran to his son. The father ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And again, this younger son says, Father, I sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And he's just like, forget all that. Forget all of it. All that matters is that you're home now. Nothing in the past matters anymore. Nothing that was matters anymore. And that's the crucial point, man. That for me, that's like what is so key here in the prodigal son story, is that when we come back to that point with God, he runs right to us. Like, we're meeting each other. We meet each other at that middle ground. Because God loves us in the same way that we bring in coming to him with repentance.
Yeah.
Man.
So, like, the way I think, it's not really related to the parable son.
Prodigal son. The Bible says it's the parable of the lost son.
Oh, prodigal son.
But, yeah, that's...
You know, I never understood that. I never did. I am so sorry. I just meshed my words. But I do that a lot. Like, I'll be talking about baseball players, and I'll mesh my words together. Anyways.
Do you know what prodigal means?
No, tell me.
Prodigal is like spending money or resources recklessly. Like recklessly flowing your money around.
Yo, I hope someone that's listening right now learned it too, and it's just me. If it's just me, then that's fine. I'll be the dummy here. But the way I think of God's love is I think of a puppy. And you know how when you get that dog, like it's that fresh feeling. You love that dog. You want to post pictures of it. You want to play with it. You just want everyone to know about this dog that you love. And so then the dog starts to grow up. And you realize that you have to take the dogs on walks. You have to take the dogs on, you have to feed the dogs. You have to groom the dogs. You have to pick up the dog's poop. Stuff like that. You have to do all this work for this dog. It's not just easy. And that's how it is for God. Is when we first find out about God, we love God. And we're like, I just want to share God with everyone. But then you're like, oh, I got to pray. I got to go to church. I got to do this. I got to not sin. And through it all, you're like, this is kind of getting a little annoying. But if you look at the dog is loving you through it all. The dog, no matter if you give it a treat or if you take it for a walk, it's always jumping up at you and loving you and loving you. Whereas God is the same way. If you forget to, I don't know, pray, go to church, and or if you sin, God is loving you through all of that. Like, God has loved you first. And so that's just, I just like that.
Yeah, because God's all in for us. God's already all in for us. Because he loved us from the start. He knew us before we were formed in the womb. And so he loves us ultimately. And so how do we bring that love back? Like, how do we give that to him?
I think it's so hard to understand God's love. I mean, Scott McKnight, he's like a professor, and his three ways to understand God's love for him is, he's like, God's love is a rugged commitment.
Ooh,
and in nice. Those three ways, to be for us is what he is, to be with us, like have a relationship with us, and to be the best of us. So to bring out the best and for him to be the best in us. And that's his ways of love.
That's good. That's good. And I have something from Piper who kind of plays off that, is that we, and looking at the prodigal son story, we are, by virtue of our innate sinfulness, self-centered. We're not God-centered. This is a quote by Piper. We run in 1,000 directions to get away from this truth that we find our full and lasting satisfaction in God. And that God is benevolent, which means, you know, kind, giving kindness, giving generously to us. God is benevolent toward us precisely in order to bring us into that enjoyment. So he's loving us for the sake of us coming back and enjoying that love. Like, he loves us so that we can come to him, so that we can run to him. And that's it, man. Like, that's it. There's nothing more than that. It's so complex, this idea of God's love. It's so complex that we can't even fathom it. But yet, it can be so simple to understand. Like, once you understand the crux of it, what does God's love look like? Okay, now how can I just come all in for him?
Right.
Like, how do I just go for it? And Zach and I don't have all these answers. And I do not, we're not scholars, we're not pastors. We struggle with this. We're giving you this word based on our wisdom. We are not the ultimate wisdom in this world, man. We are growing, growing, growing every day. We are not mature to the point where we need to be. We aren't like Paul. We're not like Peter. We're not Jesus. But man, this question here, this next one I have, like, this is just going to be rhetorical, but like, what is the ultimate symbol and ultimate, you know, truth of how God loves us? And what has that been in this world? And to me, to us, I think that's just Jesus. Like, Jesus is the ultimate symbol of God's love.
The biggest verse in the Bible, John 3:16. Are you kidding me? For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son.
Mm. Yeah.
So, God, yeah.
That's it, dude. He did it. He sent him for our sake because he loved us.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus died so that we can be free of all this sin, so that we can come running back to the Father, and he greets us with open arms, man.
Yeah. A guy who did nothing wrong died because we all did something wrong. A sinless man died for a whole bunch of sinless people and saved us all.
Yeah, just because he loved us.
Just because he loved us.
So how do we show that love, man? How do we reciprocate that? It's a tall task. But how do we do it? And yeah. I think the biggest verses on that is 1 Corinthians 13.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch in the Word. This is just what I looked at, and I'm hoping that everybody listening will continue to, you know, dive deeper in understanding God's love and how we love onto others, as Zach and I will, as we keep going through here. But 1 Corinthians 13, the title is Love is Indispensable. Love is indispensable, and indispensable means absolutely necessary. So love is absolutely necessary. And a couple verses in there is 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing.
Wait, sorry. What's it say about boasting?
If I give all I possess to the poor,
yeah,
and give over my body to hardship,
mm-hmm,
that I may boast. So boasting through, you know, your struggles, right, and your success, but you don't have love and you gain nothing. So love, true, is always intertwined with everything we're doing. If we're not doing out of love, we're not gaining anything from it. There's no point to doing it if we're not doing it out of love. If we're not devoting our work, you know, for the sake of love, what are we doing it for? Whether it's like love for other people, love for your family, love for God, regardless, we're loving,
mm-hmm,
always doing it out of love, everything.
Oh, man.
That's it.
It is it. That is it. It.
That's it.
Okay, so Cody Ashbery. Do you know Cody Ashbery?
Yeah, singer.
Yeah. So he sings that song, Reckless Love.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know if anyone explains love better than he does, other than John 3:16. That explained it pretty well. But yep, here, I have it, the lyrics pulled up, and it says, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. And then he goes on and he says, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, like we were talking about in Luke there, leaves the 99.
And
then
it is.
Yeah. And then it goes on and says, I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give me, or you give yourself away, like giving God, Jesus, on the cross. And then he goes on and says, again, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Go listen to this song if you haven't heard it yet. Actually, I listened to a podcast today on him speaking about this song. And before this song, the reason he wrote this song was because he thought of his dad. And I guess his dad was always hard on him. And he always thought he had to do so much to get his dad's approval. Or he did. He did have to do so much to get his dad's approval because he was so hard on him, which made him great at the stuff he does. Obviously, he's a great singer. But then he would, it was the only father he knew. So he thought God was the same way, where he was going to have to do everything like to a T. Where then he, through this song, he found out that no, like God loves me whether I reach this or if I don't. No matter what it is, God is there and loves me. And that's why he came and wrote this song. So yeah, go listen to Reckless Love by Cody Ashbery.
Man.
I almost said Cody Ashy. Old Phillies. Third base, left field.
Oh, wow. Wow, man. I'm trying to wrap my head around all this. Sorry, this is crazy big. Like, this is crazy big. We need another hour. I'm sorry, but that's it. I mean, love never fails. You know, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. God's love never fails. You know, the lost sheep, the coin, the son coming home into open arms. That's God's love for us. He runs after us. Even when we don't expect him to, we don't deserve it. We never deserve it, man. We deserve to be up on that cross.
Yeah, time after time, day after day.
Word.
Second after second.
So, I mean, think about that as we're going along in our days. Zach and I, we challenge each other to think about that more. Like, how do we give that love back to him? Back to him, like, by going all in. Like, I'm yours, you know? You paid for me, you bought me, I'm yours.
All in, all in. That's right. And we're not going to say it better than that, Jack. So we're going to end it there. Rate us. We never say that. Like, vote for us.
Yeah.
Say if we're good or not. Yeah.
Come on.
Put those 5 stars if you thought we were really good. If not, then don't put anything.
Give us the one. Yeah, give us the 0.
Okay, give us
the
one. Yeah, no. If you guys think we can do something better, get better, or we need to work on something, please DM us. We love help. We're here to try to get better. So put it in there for us. You can do that through Instagram, Anchor, Twitter. Like, I love those Instagram DMs, getting those Instagram DMs. So, slide in there. But other than that, have a great week, guys. Me and Jack will see you next week. Go love each other like God does. Bye.